And I think it's time to let Him move in our lives. Let's just be obedient to Him this morning and do what He's trying to do in this place. If you would, if you'd turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. I'll give you just a minute to find that, and we'll get started. And when you find that, if you would, please stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. It says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church." Y'all, the enemy was attacking the church. Herod was the enemy, and he was attacking the church. Does that sound familiar? The enemy wants to attack the church. We're the church, and the enemy wants to attack us. That's the life we live today. He wants to attack us. In verse 2, it says, "And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him unto four squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him before the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord. Lord, I know exactly what you've laid on my heart this morning. I feel your presence in this place. I also know that there's some people in here that's bound with chains this morning that needs to be released. We know that from last week, God. And God, I hadn't been able to get over that this week. It's been in my soul, in my spirit. And I pray today, God, that today is the day of reckoning, that they understand, Lord, that we'll just release ourselves to you and let you work in our lives and our situations that we struggle with. God, I thank you in advance for what you're going to do in this place. I love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Just move me out of the way and have your will and your way in this house today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So I want to set the scene just a little bit. So here's Herod, the enemy. Herod is upset that the disciples, and we're talking mainly about Peter. So Peter, in this time in his life, he's kind of got rejuvenated. He's on fire for God. He's sharing the gospel. And Herod don't like it. Herod don't like that somebody's sharing the gospel about Jesus Christ. It sounds kind of relevant to today, right? You let your life speak for Jesus Christ and see what the enemy does. He don't like it. But I got news for you. He ain't got power. He ain't got no choice in it if you just keep your focus on God. But Herod had killed James. He had caught James and killed him. And he had apprehended Peter and put Peter in prison. So the scene didn't look too well for Peter. It looked bleak, right? It looked like Peter was about to face the same consequences that James felt. He was fixing to die. But I want you to notice in verse 5, I want to read it again. In verse 5, it says, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." There's a semicolon there, which is a conjunction. Anytime you see a conjunction in a sentence or a phrase, it means something's about to change. How many people in their life need something to change in a situation you're dealing with this morning? There's things in my life, I'm ready for a change. I want to see change. And it says prayer by the church was made without ceasing. Prayer changes things. When I read this, I couldn't help but think about Michael's testimony that he gave in our men's group. And he said if it wasn't for his grandmother that was a praying grandmother that prayed for him religiously, that he wouldn't be where he's at today. Miss Linda White, I've heard her time and time again talk about her mother praying for their grandchildren, praying, and they wouldn't be where they're at if it wouldn't been for a prayer. And I'm going to tell you something. Every single one of us, if it wouldn't been for somebody that got on their knees and prayed to God for our souls, we would not be here today. But somebody cared enough to pray about us. It didn't look good for Peter, but the church prayed about the situation. At that very time, when he was bound in prison, it says in verse 7, it says the light shined before him that night into the darkness. And it says Peter looked up at it. And there were some things that that angel of the Lord told him to do that is the very things that we have to do in our situation and our circumstances when things look like that it's dark and it's bleak. And I want you to really pay attention from this point forward. If you hadn't heard a thing I said, you listen right here, because these things that he told Peter to do is the very things that if you're tired of being in that situation, you're tired of being bound by the chains that's got you bound, these are the things that you've got to do to get out of it. Number one, you can read on, but I'm gonna move through it, but you can read on. He tells Peter, he says, rise quickly. Rise up. And I got to thinking about rising up, and I started looking at it, and I thought about an illustration that I used a while back, and I want to do that this morning. The reason that the angel told the Lord, told Peter that you need to rise up is because he needed to get up and see the situation from a different level. He didn't need to see the situation for what it was. And I asked Wesley to come up here and be a problem this morning. He said he didn't have no trouble being a problem. He was pretty good at that. So Wesley, if you would, just stand right there. The reason it was so critical that he rose up is because when you're up on a top and you're close to God, things look a whole lot different when you're looking down at them than they do when you're looking up. When you're close to God and you're walking in his light, things look a whole lot. If I look at Wesley now, Wesley don't really look like too much of a problem for me. He's smaller than I am. He's probably weaker than I am. I'm not going to say it. Last time I said he's a whole lot uglier than I am, but I'm not going to say it this time. I guess I just said it. But anyway, so I'm looking at my problem, and I'm assessing it. I don't have a problem getting around Wesley. I can see through him. I can see around him. But if the devil ever brings chains against you and bounds against you, sin will chain you, sin will bound you. There's many things in our life, addiction, a lot of things that will lower your relationship with Christ, or you may not even know Christ. But if you ever become equal to your problem and you start lowering it, starts bounding you, the appearance of your problem looks a whole lot different. The appearance of your thing that you're dealing with, it looks a whole lot bit different. And if you continue and you don't seek God and get back on top of things, guess what? You're going to start becoming smaller than your problem. You're going to start getting down, and the things are going to start weighing on you, and then the next thing you know, you can't see anything but the problem that you're dealing with. You can't see around it. You can't see through it. All you can see is the problem facing you right in front of you. That's why it's so important. Thank you, man. That's why it's so important that we do, number one, we rise up to get a different view of the problem, that we seek Christ, that we get our eyes focused back on Christ and what he can do through our problems and our situations. We can't do it by ourselves. You may be in a situation this morning that you don't have a clue how you're going to get through it. I can give you very good advice. Rise up. And I'm going to give you four more things that's going to go along with it that you can do, that you can get through your situations and your circumstances that you're dealing with this morning. Number two. First he said, rise up. And number two, he said, gird yourself. And I studied through the Bible and looked in many situations. Girding yourself talks about getting ready for battle. Get your stuff ready for battle. And he talks a lot about the sword. And over in Ephesians, what is the sword? The sword has got it in the spelling of the word. It's the word. You spell sword, S-W-O-R-D. It's the word. You see, the second thing he tells Peter to do, he says, get girded. Get yourself girded. In other words, know the word. Know what you have in the word and what you have, what power you have. Rise up and get yourself ready for battle. Y'all, if we don't know the word and we don't get ourselves in the word, we're going to battle and we don't have a weapon. Guess what? If you're facing an enemy that's got a lot of weapons and you don't have one, what's the outcome going to be? It ain't going to be very good. And if you're struggling, you need to rise up and you need to get yourself girded this morning. The third thing he did, he said, put your shoes on. He says, lace up your sandals. And I thought about this as I was studying. I was thinking about it. I can go through the house and I can get my shoes, and my 9-year-old son, if I got my shoes in my hand and I walk up to the couch and start sitting down, he's going to ask me a question. What do you think he asked me? Where are you going? That's exactly right. Because there's expectation with putting your shoes on that you're not going to stay there where you're at. That's why he says it's important to put your shoes on and not expect to stay in the same place. You see, expectation is faith. If you don't think you're going to ever get through something, guess what? You probably won't. But if you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, he will get you through it. You got to look at him and not the situation or the circumstance. You got to rise up, get yourself ready for battle, and put your shoes on and expect to go somewhere. Amen? The fourth thing that he said, get your garment on. And if I look in the Bible and I start looking at garment is praise. Garment is praise. Get your praise on. Now I want you to remember, Peter's not out of the prison. Peter's still bound. The chains have fell off. And when he rose up, the chains fell off, but he's still in prison. But he tells him, praise while he's in prison. Not after he gets out. So many times we get that backwards. We want God to do something for us, and then we want to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for me. Y'all, it says he praised while he was in prison. The directions was, if you need to get up, you need to put your shoes on, you need to follow me. A lot of different things he told him to do, but he said, praise me. Amen? So many times we don't praise him in our circumstances or our situation. And then the last thing, number five, that he told him to do is very important. And a lot of times it's where we stop. I was telling Tricia, this is where we stop is when he tells us to follow him. When he tells us to do something that we don't want to do, or he tells us the Holy Spirit's dealing with us to move in a service or come to the altar or whatever, and he's saying, follow me, we don't, that's where it stops. But he told Peter, these things is what I need you to do. I need you to focus on me and follow me. Y'all, when Peter rose up, the chains fell off. When Peter looked, the angel was talking to Peter, he said, gird yourself. He said, put your shoes on with expectations of going somewhere. He said, get your praise on and follow me. I was thinking about that. How many people has ever been with somebody in a different vehicle? You've got two vehicles and it's a buddy and you have no idea where you're at. And he talks about going somewhere and he says, don't worry about it, just follow me. How many of everybody ever did that? I mean, you're following somebody and you don't have a clue where you're going. I've done it. I've done it. Nathan, I ain't going to say that. But anyway, you have no idea where you're at. And you get behind that person and you start going and you're following them, and all of a sudden they see a yellow light and I believe they speed up. They hit the gas. Knowing all along, you following them. You know, you don't know where you're at. And they blow right through it. Next thing you know, they're out of sight. You don't know if they've made a turn. You don't know what they've done or where they're at. And you travel on through and you have no idea where they're at. So many times in our situations and circumstances, as Christians, we're told to follow him, but we don't stay close enough to him to know where he's taking us. We don't see him for what he is. We don't realize the power that he has and what he can do in our lives. We get stuck at a red light. Next thing you know, we make a wrong turn and we're on a road somewhere that we don't even know what it leads to and really don't even understand how we got there. So many times that happens in our life. And as I was praying this week, y'all, I was praying so hard this week about this message that God laid on my heart. And I thought about an illustration that I have seen before, that I've seen a pastor do. And I think I've even heard Dwayne do it years ago verbally. But I seen an illustration, and I thought about it, and I felt that God laid on my heart to share it this morning, and I've asked him to get it ready. But it talks about how much power we have in Christ and how much strength we can have in Christ. But he'll only give us what we need or what we want or what we desire. And I want you to watch this video. Dr. Tony Evans does it. He does it better. And that's the reason I didn't do it, because he does it better than I ever could. But I think that my God can take a tool of anybody and beat the devil in the head with it. And I want you to watch this video. It's a powerful video. I want you to think about your situation and what you're dealing with in life and what has got you bound with chains. What's your chains? Is it fear? Is it doubt? Is it loneliness? Is it addiction? Whatever it may be that's got you bound, because we all got chains. But I want you to watch this video.
If you've ever driven to a circus, you'll see the elephants standing out on the parking lot, right? The elephants are...
Oh, that leads me to a question that I have for you. Are you free? Are you? Only you can answer that. I can't answer it. Only you can. Have you got a chain, a situation, a circumstance that's causing you not to be where God needs you to be or wants you to be, or the will of God for your life? Have you got a chain that's holding you back? Because see, a chain prevents you from going somewhere. That's what it does. I mean, ever how long the chain is, that's as far as you can go. And some of us is on some short chains. Some of us may be dealing with some things that you thought you'd never be able to get around, or you think you'll never be able to conquer, or you'll never be able to get around. But I want you, if you get a chance, read over in the scripture that we just talked about. But it says, when Peter followed the angel, says his eyes was focused on him, and he had done the things that we talked about and was asked to do. He got to the gate. There was two gates, and then there was a big iron gate that if everything else failed, there was no way that iron gate was failed. It was stronger, bigger than anything. It was maximum security. It was almost impossible to pass if you couldn't open the gate. And on the outside looking in, it appears that there's no way, because all you could see is that iron gate. But it says Peter followed the angel of the Lord, and he come to the iron gate. And I tell you, when I was praying this week, God just pressed it on me that there's some people that's seeing the iron gate. There's some people that's got some iron gates in their life that you don't see no way around. That you don't see through. You can't see no way to get around that circumstance. You've tried. You've tried to do the right things. You've tried to get around it, to get over it, get through it. But you visually, you looking at it, you can't do it. But I want you to know what happened. I want you to read what happened when Peter got to the iron gate and he was following the Lord and the angel of the Lord telling him what to do. When he has his eyes focused on him, when he got to that iron gate, do you know how he got it through it? It opened up. He didn't have to do anything but what God told him to do. That's the only thing he had to do, is what God told him to do. There is nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, that you go through in life or you deal with in life or you've ever done that God cannot get you through. Nothing. But it said, once he got through the gate, the angel of the Lord left and he went over to Mary's house where the church was gathered and they was praying. They was praying, and I can't help but think they was probably praying for Peter's situation. Says he went up to the door and he was knocking on the door, just knocking on the door, calling out, and said Rhoda went to the door, which is one of the people in the house, went to the door. And she looked and she did not open the door. She was so excited, she ran back in and told the church family, she said, Peter is at our door. You know what they said? You have lost your mind. Do you know where Peter's at? Peter is locked up in prison. He's in chains. He's got two guards beside him. He's got squadrons of guards around him. He's got two gates, and he's got that big old iron gate that there's no way he could ever get around. There is no way Peter is knocking on our door. The church was praying for that, and it was trying to be given to them, and they didn't even believe it. They told her she was crazy. Is that the way we do today? A lot of times, we pray for certain things, and God's at our door, knocking, wanting to give it to you, wanting to help your situation out, wanting to get you through things that you don't see no way around, but you won't even open the door. That's exactly the way I felt this week. I thought about last Sunday that we left some doors closed and we didn't open the door. It burdened me. Y'all, this morning, is God sitting there knocking on your door? Wanting to give you some things that you've been needing and searching for a long time? It's all about getting up and releasing those chains. Girding yourself. Putting on your shoes. All y'all got shoes on, right? Every one of you got shoes on? Yeah. Praising His name through your situation and following Him. Because when you move, I'm telling you, when you move toward Christ, the chains begin to release and fall off. If you would, please stand. Y'all, I don't know what any one person is dealing with in this place. But I can tell you one thing, God does. And I also can tell you, God put it on my heart that there were some people dealing with some stuff that they've been dealing with for a long time. There's some people hurting. There's some people that don't know Christ, that needs to know Him. Today is the day of salvation. That's what the Bible says. But there's some chains that need to fall off this morning. And I'm going to tell you the song that I just tell Tim just to play a song, but I ask him to play Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Because my whole prayer this week for marriages, my whole prayer this week for relationships with Christ, my whole prayer this week for addictions, for salvations, my whole prayer this week is that when you step out and you move, it's an act of faith and those chains will fall off. That's been my whole prayer this week. I got up at 4:30 this morning with it on my mind. that God would do something special in this place today, and there'll be some chains fall off. And when you come up here, those chains will fill this altar. But you got to move. You got to follow Him. You got to do what He's telling you to do right now. If that Holy Spirit's inside of you burning, you got to move to release those chains. Tim, if you would.